This week we will discuss the Midah of Patience. Chazal taught, a person should always be humble and patient like Hillel and not impatient like Shammai. Two people once made a bet that whoever managed to anger Hillel would receive 400 zuz. Friday afternoon, while Hillel was washing himself in preparation for Shabbos, one of the men tried to irritate him. He passed by the door of Hillel's house, calling out with chutzpah, "Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here?" Hearing him, Hillel dressed, went outside, and asked how he could help. "I have a question to ask," said the man. "Ask, my son," Hillel prompted. "Why are the heads of the Babylonians round?" To which Hillel answered, "My son, you have asked a great question. It is because the Babylonians do not have skillful midwives." The man left, waited a while, then returned, calling out once again, "Is Hillel there? Is Hillel there?" Hillel once more dressed and went outside, asking how he could help the man. "I have a question to ask," the man said. "Why are the eyes of the Tarmidean people bleared?" Hillel listened patiently and replied, "My son, you have asked a great question. It is because they live in sandy places." The man left for a while and returned a third time. "Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here?" Hillel put on his robe, went outside, and asked again, "My son, what do you require?" To which the man responded with another question, "Why are the feet of the Africans wide?" "My son, you have asked another good question," Hillel tolerantly replied. "It is because they live in watery marshes." The man continued roughly, "I have many questions to ask, but I am afraid that you may become angry." Thereupon Hillel sat himself down before him, saying, "Ask all the questions you have." As if he was unaware, the man asked, "Are you the Hillel who is called the Nasi of Bnei Yisrael?" "Yes," Hillel replied. The man retorted, "If that is you, may there not be many like you." "Why, my son?" "Because I have lost 400 zuz of the bet because of you," he replied. Hillel said, "Always be careful of your moods. You can lose 400 zuz and yet pay another 400 zuz, but Hillel will never take offense." A goy once approached Shammai and asked, "How many Torahs do you have?" "Two," Shammai answered, "the written Torah and the oral Torah." "Regarding the written Torah, I believe you," replied the goy, "but not with respect to the oral Torah. I want you to convert me on condition that you teach me only the written Torah." Shammai scolded him, sending him away angrily. When the goy approached Hillel with the same request, he accepted him as a ger, teaching him on the first day Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. The next day, Hillel changed the order of the letters. "But yesterday you did not teach them to me like this," the ger protested. "Then you need to rely on me, don't you?" explained Hillel. "Then rely upon me with regards to the oral Torah as well." On another occasion, a different goy asked Shammai to convert him on the condition that he teach him the entire Torah while he stands on one foot. Shammai pushed him away with a ruler in his hand. When the same goy approached Hillel, he was told, "What is hateful to you, do not do to another. That is the entire Torah, while the rest is an explanation. Go and learn it." There was another incident where a goy passed the Beis Medrash and heard the Melamed teaching about the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. The goy told Shammai, "I want to convert on condition that you appoint me as Kohen Gadol." Shammai pushed him away with a ruler in his hand. The goy went to Hillel with the same request. Hillel asked the man, "Can any man be appointed as a king if he is not knowledgeable in the workings of government? Go and learn how the government functions," meaning that to be a Kohen, one must first learn the Torah. When the goy came to the Pasuk stating, "V'hazor ha-korev yumas," that a stranger that approaches the Mishkan will die, he asked, "To whom does this apply?" "Even to David, the king of the Yidden," was the answer. The goy thought, "If Bnei Yisrael, who are called the firstborn son of Hashem, have this written about them, how much more so a mere ger who comes now with his staff and traveling bag?" And he understood that he would not be able to enter the Mishkan. He later returned to Shammai asking, "How could I possibly have been fit to be a Kohen Gadol? Isn't it written in the Torah otherwise?" He then turned to Hillel and said to him, "Hillel the humble one, let brachas rest on your head for bringing me under the wings of the Shechina." Sometime later, the three Gadim met, each one telling his story. Together they concluded, "Shammai's impatience sought to drive us from the world, but Hillel's humbleness brought us under the wings of the Shechina." A man once came to Rav asking to learn Torah. Rav took him in and began teaching him the Aleph Beis. When he said Aleph, the man immediately challenged, "Who says that's an Aleph?" When Rav taught him Beis, he did the same.
So Rav became angry and chased him out.
Coming to Shmuel, the man asked to be taught Torah and repeated his performance. Shmuel grabbed his ear strongly, and the annoyed man cried, "My ear! Who says that's an ear?" Shmuel challenged.
"Everyone knows that's an ear," the man replied.
"Here too," Shmuel told him. "Everyone knows that this is an aleph and a beis." The man acquiesced and learned Torah.
An unfortunate fellow found himself obsessed with a strange fantasy. He was convinced that the local chief of police was actually Eliyahu HaNavi and that the governor of the city was Mashiach, and he announced his discovery to everyone he knew or met. Sorely troubled by his behavior, the man's family took him to see the tzaddik Reb Simcha Bunim of Pshischa. The poor man had barely opened the door of the Rebbe's study when he excitedly gave him the news, "Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach both live in my city." When the Rebbe asked who they were, he told him of his finding.
"And who am I?" asked the Rebbe.
"Why, you are the Rebbe," answered the visitor.
"Is it possible then," asked Reb Simcha Bunim, "that I, who am a Rebbe, do not know that Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach are in your city?"
The man admitted that the Rebbe must surely know, but he was obviously keeping the information to himself.
"Very well," said the tzaddik, "you too can know, but not reveal it to anyone, just as I do."
Upon returning to his hometown, the man never raised this subject again, and eventually recovered his sanity completely.
The tzaddik of Shmelka of Nikolsburg had a friend, the Rav of Yanov, who was a Talmud Chacham and a Yerei Shamayim, but extremely stubborn. For the chasana of the Rav's son, many of the Yanov townsmen journeyed to the distant town where the chasana was to be held. While traveling, the Rav stopped to find a quiet spot in the forest where he could daven mincha, and those traveling in his carriage waited respectfully for his return. But when the sun set and there was no sign of their Rav, they set out to look for him amongst the trees, becoming increasingly anxious as night fell. Eventually, they decided to continue on, thinking that he had joined a different carriage traveling to the chasana. On their arrival, though, they were greatly alarmed, for the father of the chasana was not there. Having no choice, they celebrated the chasana without him. They searched for him again on the way home, but were unsuccessful. Nor did they find him when they arrived back in Yanov. Actually, the Rav had lost his way in the endless forest, becoming confused by the roundabout tracks. He wandered for weeks, surviving on whatever fruit he could find. So distressed was he by his tribulations that he lost track of time and began keeping Shabbos one day early. But in the merit of his Torah learning, Hashem protected him from harm until at long last he found his way back to Yanov. Thursday afternoon, when the Rav began preparing for what he believed was Shabbos, his family tried to explain to him that his calculations had become confused, but he could not be convinced. On Friday, he behaved as if the holy day had already arrived, and Shabbos he treated like a weekday, reprimanding his family for their stubbornness. Rabbonim and Talmidei Chachamim from all around tried to convince him that he was wrong, but to no avail. When Reb Shmelka of Nikolsburg heard about this, he immediately set out for Yanov, arriving on Thursday. The Rav of Yanov invited him for Shabbos, and Reb Shmelka agreed to be his guest, telling all the people of Yanov to prepare for Shabbos. On Thursday afternoon, the townsmen dressed in their Shabbos clothes and went to shul. Reb Shmelka saw to it that his host served as chazan for Kabbalah Shabbos, while he and all the others quietly davened the weekday maariv. Then, as if it were Shabbos, the Rav, his family, and many others sat down for a Suda Shabbos. Reb Shmelka remarked to his host that it would be right to turn this occasion into a Suda Saida for his miraculous survival, by serving a few extra bottles of wine. Reb Shmelka saw to it that his host drank a large amount of strong wine, falling into a deep sleep. When the Rav fell asleep, Reb Shmelka told the townsmen to leave and return the following night, on Friday night. Reb Shmelka stayed to ensure that the Rav would not be disturbed, and did not even go to shul on Friday night, but davened alone in the house of the Rav. After davening, the townsmen came to the Shabbos table and found the Rav still sound asleep. They had their Suda Shabbos, and at midnight Reb Shmelka woke up his host. "Rav of Yanov," he said, "please join us for the benching." The Rav washed his hands and joined the rest of the guests. After Shabbos, all the local dignitaries came to offer Reb Shmelka their whispered thanks, to which he responded by making them give their promise never to make the slightest mention of the whole episode. And indeed, until the day of his death, the Rav never discovered what had transpired.